Have you ever asked this question? Am I in the will of God? If you have, you're going to want to listen to today's podcast because that's exactly what we're talking about. It's time to get our hands dirty. Hey, I'm Natalie Grant.
And I'm Charlotte Gamble.
And we are so excited that you are joining us for the Dare to Be podcast. We're just talking about a really small thing today.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little tiny thing. The will of God. I feel like even when I say it, I feel like I need to say, we're talking about the will of God.
You're quite good at that. You should keep that up.
It just, even the when you say it, right, it sounds so big. It also sounds slightly unattainable.
Right.
Like, how are we supposed to know the will of God? Maybe I'm the only one, though I have a feeling that I'm not the only one, that grew up. If you grew up in the church, you grow up with this idea that you have to be in the will of God. You
right.
have to pray for the will of God. You have to know the will of God. And if you take like a tiny step to the right or the left, you could be out of the will of God,
right.
which would be like the worst thing in the world,
ever.
Out of the will of God. And I think hearing about it in such big, huge terms, you know, it kind of made it almost mystical to me.
Right.
Almost this thing that was like this mystical, the will of God, and what is that? And can you ever really know? And the older I've gotten, and the more that I, just the more years I've walked with God, I think the more I've begun to understand why and who and when did they ever decide to make the will of God this
right.
big, massive thing, when he actually has made his will so clear in the scripture when you take the time to really read it. And I think it's because we're always trying to find that personal will. Mm-hmm. Like, well, but what's his personal plan for me? Mm-hmm. And what if I do the wrong thing? And what if I think that's God's will and it's not God's will? Well, then what? Mm-hmm. So maybe you're listening today and you've been asking some of those questions. Maybe you're asking them right now. And we want to just kind of try to unpack some of this. So I have a story about my husband, Bernie, which I'm really grateful that he is my husband. But so strange story is that before I ever met Bernie, he was actually engaged to be married to somebody else. And when I met him, he was kind of right on the end of that real heartbreak that he had gone through. He was engaged to somebody. He went out on tour. And when he came back, he found out that she really wasn't who she said she was. And she hadn't been faithful to him. And it was like a month before their wedding. The invitations had already gone out and they had to call off their wedding. And he was on tour with a Christian singer named Twyla Paris from back mm-hmm. in the day and Avalon from back in the day. And he was playing piano on this tour. And he was so heartbroken and so... I remember him telling me the story. He said, I felt so confused because I felt like the reason I asked her to marry me was because it was the will of God. Mm-hmm. I thought that was God's will for my life. How could I have gotten it so wrong? And clearly, I must not have known how to hear God, or I must not have known how to find his will. And he was on tour. They were in California at a church out there. And he was kind of a mess of a human being at this point. And he was down in what he thought was a changing room down in the basement of this church. And he was sobbing. I mean, just, he said, I thought I was alone. I'm in this room just sobbing, saying, God, I'm so confused. I'm so lost. I'm so brokenhearted. And he hears the door like open and close. And he's like, okay, I'm not alone. And somebody's hearing me like, bah! You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he just hears this man's voice say, are you in here? And Bernie was like, yes, who is that? And he was like, I'm Pastor Jack Hayford. And it was the pastor of the church. And maybe some of you that are listening have heard that name, but just a really powerful Bible teacher. And Bernie's like, wait, it's the pastor. And I'm sitting here on the floor sobbing my eyes out. And he's immediately thinking, I got to get myself together.
Right.
Right. And that pastor just literally looked at him and said, do you want to know how to find the will of God? And he didn't even know what Bernie's heartbreak was, right?
Right?
But that was just the leading of the Holy Spirit. And Bernie was like, you have no idea. More than anything, I want to know how to find the will of God. And he said, well, he's made some things really clear in scripture. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for me. It's the will of God for you. Pray continually. Rejoice in all circumstances. Give thanks. this is the will of God for you. It's the will of God for me. Take care of all of those things that he's made really clear. Mm-hmm. And then once you take care of those things, do what you want. Mm-hmm. And Bernie was like, huh? It was like a, oh, what do you mean? Do what you want. And it was actually this real epiphany moment for Bernie of like, okay, that sounds incredibly freeing and to my religious self, slightly blasphemous. Right. Like, what do you mean I get to do what I want? And he's like, it's because when you're taking care of God's will and that he's made plainly clear, then your want to is going to line up. He's going to actually put instincts and things inside of you that are from the Holy Spirit that you want to do. And when you when you're chasing after this, what's God's will, what's God's will, what God's will, then you're actually not taking care of what he's already made plain to you to do. And that has been so incredibly, it was very freeing to Bernie. Like, okay, wait a second. I don't have to worry that I actually missed it.
Right.
Because in the mess, in the mistake, in the hurt, God will actually continue to work out his will wherever you are at. So then all of a sudden the will of God becomes less about a destination and more about this constant lifestyle of just doing what it is he's called you to do and then doing what you want.
Right.
Okay, so now you as a pastor, what do you say about somebody saying, okay, do those things, now do what you want?
Well, I would totally agree because, and I know Bernie, Nat's husband, and that would be the most freeing thing because he would have been brought up quite a legalistic, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do.
Hard rules.
Yeah. And so no soft edges.
Right.
And so for him to be given that, but that's the grace of God. That soft edge is the grace of God. We don't serve a religion. We serve a real Savior. And so I think what we've done is we've made the will of God. You know, if you ever watch anyone play a game of darts.
Yes.
And there's the dart board. And we've made the will of God the bullseye.
So good.
And it's the whole board. Exactly.
Yes.
It's the whole board.
Yes.
And so there's only a few darts that will ever land in the bullseye. And there's only room for a few in the bullseye.
Yes.
So if that's what you're aiming for all your life, you're going to always feel you're missing it. I just keep missing it. Instead of realizing I'm on the board.
Right.
Therefore, I'm in the will of God, you know? And the Bible also talks about delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I think that is the will of God. I think that's what Pastor Hayford was saying. Do what you want. Because if you're delighting in him, you can't do what you want if you're not delighting in him.
That's right.
Because if you're not delighting in him, the desires of your
selfish
heart will be out of line. Yes. But when you're delighting in him, it changes the desire. It's like when you fall in love. The delighting in that person changes the desires of where you want to spend your time, what you want to do, how you want to share your life, whereas before you didn't.
Yes.
So where you're delighting is shapes your desires, and your desires are then shaped by whom you delight in.
Yes.
So if I'm delighting in my husband, Steve, he, you know, when I met Steve, I had no idea about root beer, nor did I have any desire. I was English.
Root
beer. Even is that? I had no idea about the Seahawks and NFL.
Right.
But the more I delighted in Steve, the more my desires changed.
Yes.
The more I would want to sit on the sofa and watch NFL, maybe not have a root beer.
but notice how she still didn't call it football because football in England is soccer.
Right. So, but my delighting in him changed my desires.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the same with the will of God. The more you delight in him, the more your desires change, which becomes the will of God for your life.
Yes.
So you move from the self-driven desires into the delighting in him that gives you the God-centered desires. So when that pastor saying to Bernie, do these things, serve God, love your neighbor,
God,
he's saying delight in God and your desires after that, do what you want.
Will fall in line.
Because they will fall in line.
Exactly. And I think there's also something so freeing about this because I know that there is someone listening right now that says, yeah, but my mistake, my choice I made disqualifies me from the will of God because that clearly that was not the will of God for my life. So now what? And, you know, I'm thinking right now actually about my nephew and some of you that are listening and have heard me tell this story before about how, you know, he's made some really poor choices as a teenager. He had a back injury when he was playing football, and it started with painkillers, which then turned to drugs and heroin. And we just, as a family, just watched his life absolutely fall apart. Mm-hmm. And then as a result, what that did to my sister and her mm-hmm. husband and their whole family. And it was absolutely not the will of God for him to, you know, become addicted to painkillers and then addicted to heroin and then all that led him down. And he ended up, you know, serving some time. Mm-hmm. But this is what's fascinating is all of those things were not the will of God.
Right.
But God has still worked out his will in his life in the place where he is at. So I have watched as he's in prison, I've watched his life radically turn around. I've watched him teach, you know, men in their 50s and 60s mm-hmm. how to read. I've watched mm-hmm. him teach the word of God and become what they call pastor, mm-hmm. you know, in the prison setting. And I think, okay, so maybe how he got there was not the will of God. Mm-hmm. But the beautiful thing about God is that even when our mistakes have consequences, mm-hmm. it doesn't disqualify you. When you allow God to continue to work in your life, he'll actually meet you in whatever circumstance, mm-hmm. whatever situation you are in, and he will continue to work out his will in your life, even in that setting.
It's kind of like God has a roadmap for your life. And so here's the roadmap for your life. And you set off on a journey with him. And, you know, you can detour.
Yeah. Yep.
You can do a detour with sin. You can do a detour because of a poor choice. You can do a detour because you decide to rebel. But when you have done your detour, God's will keeps, the path is still there. And the grace of God, no matter the detour, will bring you right back on the path. And he'll go, okay, let's carry on the journey that you disappeared from for a little while and get back on. Or I think what people think is if I mess up, God cancels the road trip.
Yeah, that's so
And good. There's no more journey with God.
Right.
And now I can't ever get back. But the prodigal, he went right back home.
Yes.
And he rejoined the journey in the Father's house.
So good.
And so God keeps his route plan as if you went nowhere, just waiting for you to reroute back. And the will of God is still there for your life.
Yeah.
And the blessing of God is still there for your life. God doesn't cancel the trip because you made a poor choice. He invites you back on the road to rejoin the journey that he always had marked out for you. So
maybe you're listening today and you're searching for the will of God. Maybe, you know, you're like, okay, I don't actually know which job to take. I don't know which direction to go. I don't know what to do because you're desperately searching for the will of God. Instead, take care of doing those things that he's made plain. He's made clear. Mm-hmm. Love God. Delight yourself in him. And as you delight yourself in him, he will put desires in you that are from him. So then you just kind of get to go for it. You get to do what it is that you want to do. Maybe it is that you're listening and you feel like some decisions you've made have disqualified you from being in the will of God. Know and understand that his grace does not have an expiration date. It never runs out and it will run to meet you wherever you are. And so wherever you find yourself, God is continually working out his will in your life.
So maybe we'll just close by praying for you today. Just as you're right there listening, wherever you are, we just pray right now by the Spirit of God that you would sense that presence of God all around you today, that you would know that you are not forsaken, that you have not missed out. You have not messed up so much that the will of God is canceled over your life, that God has a will that he has placed in front of you as a path for you. And all you have to do today is just trust him and just delight yourself in him once more. Wherever you feel that there's been legalism or religion that's been placed on you today, I pray you would let that fall off you, the pressure of that fall off you, and you'd fall back into love with the one who has you in the palm of his hand. His will for you is good. His plans for you are good. And so trust in that God today that has planned your future and invites you into it with him, one step at a time.
Amen.